Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. A-Dream in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in. Look.
Yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See, Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico. So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down relationships to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life, how we live in life. From politics to the current events, economics and race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life, how we live in life.
Coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's Bree, baby.
Peace and blessings. It's the Bree Life Radio Show. I'm your girl, Bree. And what do we do on Thursdays? We freestyle. It is Freestyle Thursdays. What I would like to do at this point is bring on one of my loyal listeners, biggest cheerleaders on Facebook, brother at arms, and Crown High peeps, is brother Alvin in the house. What's up, Alvin? Peace and blessings.
How you doing? Peace and blessings. Peace and blessings. How you doing, my queen? How's it going?
I'm freestyling. That's what we doing tonight. It's Thursday and we freestyle.
That's right. Well, it's good
that's
to
right,
be free.
That's right. That's right.
It's good.
Before
it's
we
good.
Get my freestyle, would you like to share a freestyle of yours?
Oh, yeah. Well, my freestyle is anything that makes Mitt Romney frown makes me smile. I'm feeling good. It's a good week. Anything that makes Paul Ryan frown makes me smile. It's a
okay.
good. God bless America.
Well, we'll also be enjoying tonight with our New Jersey brother at arms, and that would be Dwan. Dwan,
oh, peace
and blessings.
Hey, peace and blessings. How y'all doing tonight?
All right.
Okay, we're okay. How you
doing? I know, brother Alvin is on a. I know he on a straight up high. I know he ain't coming down for a little while.
Yeah.
But I'm doing all right. You know, I'm on a high myself. You know, either way, you know, you have to be optimistic about, you know, the country that you live in. Either way, you know, no matter who's running the show. Because, mm-hmm. you know, ultimately, you know, the decision does not rest on an individual, but us as Americans. So you have
right.
to be optimistic. You can't ever lose hope. But just to see, you know, I never really wanted Mitt Romney to win this thing, you know. And just to see the history that's being made in my lifetime, I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's just enough to say, you know, God, I'm satisfied. I am just, mm-hmm. I'm in, you know, I'm in such awe. You know, yesterday, the following morning after, you know, we got the results, before I even got out of bed, I logged onto my computer and
mm-hmm.
Started looking at the speech that Obama made after, you know, after he found out that he won the election, the re-election. And, you know, before I even got out of bed, I watched that speech, and I just begin to tear, you know. And it's you know, just great joy just begin to fill my heart. And it's
mm-hmm.
just, I mean, it's just, it's something that, I mean, a lot of people is not going to see. Nobody have seen it, and a lot of people is not, you know, may not ever see it. But, you know, I was exposed to this. This is a part of my history, and that's something to definitely be proud of as an American and as an African-American male. So I'm on a high myself, you know. I am. I believe there's some great things that's, you know, going to transpire within the next 4 years. And
we have to be
optimistic
about that. We absolutely have to be optimistic about that. And like I mentioned on my show yesterday, which was dedicated to our president and our reelected president, because of his public service, because of how he started. He started as a grassroots community leader and an activist. So the topic of the show was about where are all our black leaders and our black organizations. And let me, if I could, just share with our listeners some of the election facts. President Obama received 75% of the Latino vote. He received 73% of the Asian vote. Mm. He received 95% of the black vote, 55% of the female vote, and over 66% of youth under the age 30, and over 80% of the lesbian and gay vote. So what does that tell you about the America that he projected, that he wanted for us all to be a part of and that he wanted to represent? Because when you go back to all of the campaigning that Barack Obama did over the country over the last 2 years, and you look at the audience that Romney was speaking to, Romney's America did not reflect you or me. It did not reflect the statistics that I just gave you.
Yeah.
Barack Obama's campaign reflected these statistics. And that's an enormous accomplishment. Because he's the first man in history. He's the first presidential candidate in history that's ever gotten these type of percentile numbers.
Well, wow.
That just goes to you the direction that our country has evolved to and the direction that is moving into.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's something to definitely help our encouragement on, you know, how we view the society now, how we view this country now. You know, it's just awesome. It really is. It truly is a blessing to see this. And I just
awesome.
Cannot wait. I believe that Obama, I believe he's gonna finish out strong. I believe that he's gonna make some changes that, you know, that even most presidents haven't made, just because, you know, I'm just excited to see what's gonna happen next. I really am. You know, it made me think of other directions that I wanted to move, you know, myself in life as far as a career. You know, I'm a businessman. So that, you know, that right there I look at as far as you know, my financial stability. But I still want to be within, you know, an organization where, you know, I can not only work together with, you know, with people as a team and keep that, but also, you know, serve in some kind of capacity, you know, within helping people, you know. So I definitely want to do that. And it just, you know, it just make me view, you know, kind of view my plans and goals. I mean, you know, it just kind of changed things up a little bit. And I know I'm not the only one. You know, I know that there's, you know, thousands upon thousands, if not millions, of people that, you know, look at their future a lot differently, you know, because this, you know, Tuesday was not just about a re-election, but it was, for me, the way I saw it, it was kind of a confirmation that, you know what, because first of all, we elected a president that we had no experience with. We didn't have any kind of relationship with. We didn't know, you know, what he was going to bring to this country, you know, as far as what he would provide. But now we do have some sort of experience. He has a tracking record now. He's been in it 4 years, and we've seen him do some great, great things within those 4 years, you know. And so, you know, to have him reelected, and not only that, but the statistics that you also just read, you know, concerning the races, the sexes, and you know that, you know, within that, it's just, it's, I mean, you know, it for me, it's confirmation, you know, it's confirmation saying that, you know what, we have a qualified leader. Let's not look at color. Let's not look at circumstance. Let's not look at any other shallow reason, other than the fact that, you know what, this man is qualified to get the job done, you know.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, it just, you know, it brings joy to my heart as a man, as an African-American citizen, you know, and I'm excited.
Well, it sounds like this is the most upbeat I've heard you on the show, and that makes me feel good.
Yeah, I'm on a high. You know, I'm sitting here getting good. It's just, you know, it's one of those feelings, you know, that you don't have all the time. You know, it's one of those feelings you don't have all the time. And so, you know, I'm waiting to see what's going to happen in these next 4 years. Trust and believe, I'm gonna track each and every event that takes place, you know, concerning this country and how Barack is going to, you know, handle those things. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that's good. There's a couple of things that I want to do before we go into our first commercial break. First, I want to give a bunch of birthday shout-outs. So I want to wish Richard Cochran, Anwar Williams, Stephen Haynes, who is a very good friend of mine who I grew up with in Crown Heights, Anthony Hooker, Danny Becker, Angela Rubin, Carol Ritchie, and last but not least, Amanda Coppin. Amanda Coppin has been following Bree Life Radio since I've been on the air. And she supports my show every week. She may not listen to each and every show that is on that particular week, but I'm guaranteed that she's listening at least one day. Because she lets me know by indicating that she's going to be present. So for her,
nice. Happy birthday.
I just want to say a special happy birthday shout out. Peace and blessings. We at Bree Life Radio love and appreciate our sister, Amanda Coppin. Happy birthday to you, and may you live many, many, many happy years to come.
Happy birthday, Amanda.
Happy birthday.
That's right. So, as I said when I opened the show, it's Freestyle Thursday, and that's what we do on Thursdays. We freestyle. So when we come back from our commercial break, we are going to I'm going to let one of the gentlemen go first for the freestyle. I think I'll do my freestyle at around the 10 o'clock hour. But I'm also going to read a Facebook comment by another Crown Heights friend of mine that started an uproar on his page yesterday. and he'll be on a future show. Actually, he'll be participating in part two to Where Are All the Black Leaders and the Black Organizations. Speaking of that show, there's a few people that I just have to send a big shout-out to because there were a lot of people listening yesterday, and I got great feedback on the show. General Parker from Peoria, Illinois. Mayor Pro Temp Van Johnson. Reverend Clyde Dunning from Linden, New Jersey. Mayor Pro Temp Johnson, he's from Brooklyn, but he currently is the mayor of the city of Savannah, the mayor pro temp. I have to make sure I say pro temp, else I'll get in trouble. And we also had a caller by the name of Booby, International Booby. He called in and shared some wisdom with us. Love that brother. Love his energy. And, of course, our brother at arms in Houston, Texas, Mark, we love you. A lot of us do. And I just want to go to commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to see who's brave enough to freestyle first. Is it going to be Dwan or is it going to be Alvin? I don't know, but we'll know when we come back.
Green Life Radio is a grassroots radio show offering a voice to everyday people. It is without a doubt that this service is a pleasure for we at Green Life to provide. However, this service comes at a cost. For us to continue to provide this valuable outlet to the community, we need your support. Join us as we raise funds to keep Green Life Radio streaming while we provide assistance to Public School 161 in Brooklyn, New York. 15% of all funds raised will go towards providing school supplies to the students of this necessary and vital educational institution. You can find more information about our fundraiser on the web at greelife.evenbright.com. That's greelife.evenbright.com.
It's the Green Life Show.
You gotta turn it on.
When Green Life Show.
You gotta turn it on.
It's the Green Life Show.
You gotta turn it on. The Green Life. You gotta turn it on.
It's the Green Life Show.
You gotta turn it on.
When Green Life Show.
You gotta turn it on.
It's the Green Life Show.
You gotta turn it on. The Green Life. You gotta turn her on.
Tune in Wednesday and Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, for real talk about real life. Inhale and breathe light. It's the Breathe Life Radio Show on blogtalkradio.com/BRILIFE.
It's the Breathe Life Show.
Peace and blessings. We're back. It's the Breathe Life Show. Freestyle Thursdays. And we're about to freestyle. We're about to go all in. So, which one of you brave souls will go first?
I'll go first.
All right.
Unless you wanted to go first, brother, you know.
Brother, we got all night, man.
All right. My freestyle is just this because I was listening to the show yesterday, and I overheard my sister. You know, she says somebody made a donation. So I just was like, you know, you need a campaign going. You know, now that we got we got our brother back in the White House, so, you know, we need to, you know, now we can work on Sister Bree and your thing, you know. We need to get you some funding. Since Donald Trump can write check to make bets, you know, we need to get some of that happening, you know. So it was something I thought about.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. So for all of you who would like to continue to hear the sound of my voice on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays so far, you can reach me at eventbrite.com and look up the Breathe Life Radio fundraiser. And You just voted your conscience for your presidential choice. You can vote for me and send me as little as a dollar or give your conscience. Whatever you'd like to give, it would be most appreciated. And as I say in my commercial, 15% of my proceeds I'm donating to PS161 on Crown Street in Crown Heights. It's a public school that I went to, and I feel that the education that I got there is instrumental in forming the person who's talking to you right now. And I go back and talk to the school administrators, and I did a presentation there this past spring to the PTA, and I learned to my own ignorance, because this is something that I never realized, that teachers who don't make the greatest salary in the world are having to buy school supplies for 35 to 40 children throughout a school year. So you have to think that the average school teacher makes what, $35,000, $40,000 a year, maybe 50, and after 33% of their taxes are already taken away from that, let's say they're already having to give an additional 10 to 15% of their salary to keep school supplies and materials in their classrooms.
Wow.
So Bree Life Radio wants to give, because that's the spirit of and the platform that Bree Life Radio runs on, giving. We want to give 15% of every dollar that we get in to PS161. So whoever helps me, it'll be most appreciated. And Alvin, didn't I hear some nasty rumor on Facebook? You said something like you were going to match every dollar.
That's not a rumor. That's the truth. I'm going to match every dollar. You know, and I know I got the resources to do it, because me and Yolanda Vega is tight. Because I see it like this. If I could, it's all over my page. If I'm gonna be hitting the number and buying all these expensive bottles of champagne, then why not support a cause like this? This is something, you know, we need more of this, you know, in our neighborhood, in our community. You're doing a great service, so you know, I could forego why pay $160 for Moet and all that when I could, you know, that could go towards something good that like what you're doing. So it's making me see the light, you know, especially. No, it's just the whole campaign, it changed me a little bit. It made me really go back and rethink my position on some things. Because, you know, you got people like Mitt Romney walking around. I need more people like you walking around, you know.
Oh, so that's
where it starts.
Heard all year, Alvin. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm only going to give you the truth. So, you know, I go out there. Come on, Yolanda Vega. I got some things to do. So it's good.
Okay. Well, thank you for your. I know you have other freestyles, but thank you for that one. I appreciate that.
I just want to hand you one of those big checks like the lottery that I dream about getting. But I want to present that to the Bree Life Show. I want to make some things happen. But I'm going dollar for dollar. That's not a rule.
Oh.
Some of my Facebook friends on my page, they better start chalking it up. Or I'm going to start deleting. You ain't going to be hanging around me. Not because, you know, I give out valuable information. Not like you do, but I hand out information. I'm like, listen, you too could hit the numbers. I share some information, you know. I'm going to start charging a dollar for that. You want to know? You hook a brother up so I can hook a sister up. And so forth and so on.
Well, all righty then. So, Juan, before we go into your freestyle, there is There's something that I need to do, if you don't mind.
All right.
I was just cued that I should hold off on that. So we're going to move forward with your freestyle. What's your freestyle tonight? So you and I have talked a couple of times this week offline. I know you got plenty to talk about.
We just coming from the re-election. All the Obama supporters, you know, I'm sure most of them are still on the same high that I'm on. But I do have a question, and I think it kind of sheds some light on where we go as far as the next generation of politicians. But how do you think the re-election, not just the first election, but the re-election, how do you think the re-election is going to affect the next generation of politicians? What do you guys see that would be different? Do you believe that, you know, we're going to see a lot more, not only African Americans, but other races that wouldn't normally look at this path of life as, you know, a way to go, but, you know, now they see it, you know, they see it differently now, you know, after everything that's transpired in the last 4 years to now what we're looking at within the future, you know, 4 years mm-hmm. in the future. You know, what do you think is going to change concerning the next generation of politicians? What do you believe is going to change, or what do you think is going to be different?
Well, we talked about this last night. I posed this question to my panel. The question that I asked that's sort of similar to your question is, what are you all doing to provoke and prepare the next generation of leaders? Because somebody's reach back and give pass the baton to the next generation. They have mm-hmm. to be prepared for that. And if we as individuals in our community, and Van Johnson was so eloquent and so gracious in saying that he felt that I was a leader. And all I could say to that is that we're all leaders in our own right. We all have something to contribute to our neighborhoods and our community.
Yeah, absolutely.
No matter how big or small it is. And we need to do a better job with preparing young people, especially people of color. We need
mm-hmm.
to do a better job than what we have done these past 25 years. We need
mm-hmm.
not criticizing anybody and saying nothing's been done, but there's so much more that could have been done. I think that life and the economy and all the things that have had wars, two wars, you know, over the last 15-year period, that's a lot of stuff going on simultaneously, and you get distracted at times. So we all need to, firstly, we have to become educated about the community leaders that are in our neighborhoods right now. We have to do what we need to do to find out who those leaders are, and especially the elected officials, because for those who vote these individuals in, and we need to hold them accountable for our platform.
Mm-hmm.
And there needs to be more organization among just neighborhood individuals, which is something that Brother Booby was talking about last night. he feels that, you know, we shouldn't rely on any government, state, local, or federal assistance. He feels that we should take up arms ourselves and do what we need to do to bring ourselves out of our current condition and to prepare young people to lead us. because as we are in our 30s, 40s, 50s, and we have children, there are people that are coming behind our children or are walking along with our children. We need to properly prepare them to lead us into the next 25 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the thing. So you have to become familiar with the community leaders, the grassroots leaders, and the elected officials. And then also, here's another problem, and I believe it was Mayor Johnson, pro tem, he mentioned it last night. You can't even get a lot of these parents, unfortunately, to come out to PTA meetings. I mean, I've been to PTA meetings in my neighborhood, and, you know, it seems like that's a systemic problem all over the country. And one of the reasons why is not just it doesn't only mean that the parents are not interested, is that because the economy is so jacked up that sometimes a parent has to work two different jobs to make up the income of one.
Yeah.
And when the days that they may be off are not in alignment with the days that the PTA meetings are going on during the week.
Mm-hmm.
Which then, you know, if you're really interested in your students, maybe something needs to be reformed where PTA meetings are held, at least one PTA meeting throughout a 9-month period of school. Maybe a PTA meeting needs to be held on a Saturday.
Right.
I've never heard of any school system doing that before. But, I mean, hey, just because something has never been done before doesn't mean that, you know, it couldn't work.
That's right.
So, you know, so you have to get more involved, but there has to be flexibility for involvement to be taking place on both sides.
Yeah.
But, and then holding the elected officials, again, accountable for what you feel are important issues to you and your family and to the community at large needs to take place. I know there are some people that don't necessarily agree with me, our brother Booby, more specifically from last night, but you know what? I earned this right to vote, and I think that because I have this right to vote, I have the right to pick up the phone and call a local senator's office or a councilman or woman's office or call City Hall and you know, make an inquiry or a complaint. That's my right. So what say you, Alvin, on that?
No, I definitely agree with that. And, you know, one thing about the future of our country as far as with the children and stuff I do see is that as they watch this leadership change over and they watch the reelection, this is a history. And as they keep watching, it sets a bar that they know that should they fill those shoes, that they have to step up. It's not about, you know, you get there and then you got to do the work that comes along with it, you know, and they'll know that. Because so much was at stake, they'll realize how important it is that people's lives was in the midst. You know, that this election affected everybody, you know, and it had to be the most watched. I believe it was the most watched in history because, you know, the gloves were coming off, you know, because
yeah.
On one side you had someone that, you know, he say he care, but he wanted to run the country like it was just Bain Capital. You can't have that. And then on the other side you got someone that genuinely cares about everyone, not just a piece, the whole thing. He tried, you know, he's fighting with Congress. They don't want to help him. Their whole thing was just to get rid of him, and that's why they're in the turmoil they're in now. And now they got egg on their face. I'm smiling watching them pick their teeth off the floor like chiclets, because they should have been ahead of the game. You know, you don't play with people's lives like that. Livelihoods, jobs, the economy. That's why nothing's getting fixed. They going home to their mansions or whatever at the end of the night. But there's people out. Now look at this. The hurricane and stuff. The only one who stepped up was Obama. And then, you know, you got the first responders who was losing things too. They had to go vote too. They was playing with their lives as well. You know, this whole thing just says a lot. It's like I just learned so much from these past weeks. And you know, the panel last night, you know, I look at all of them that even though they all had different views, but I could look at each one of them as a finger, and if you close that fist and put it in a glove, it's still a knockout blow because they're still together. Even though the views don't always got a link, but as long as everyone could, you know, because it's still a fight when you got to fight together, no matter the views. Because no matter how you look at it, we still need each other. No matter what position you hold, we still need each other. Because you never know what might come our way down the road where we might need these, you know, we might need to deal with that person, no matter how I feel, but I got to look at the masses.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I want to do now, I noticed that we have our brother Booby in queue, and I just want to let him know because he's listening that I'll be bringing him on shortly. But there's something that I must do because now it has become a Bree Life Radio Freestyle Thursday tradition, and that is play the Brooklyn National Anthem.
I stand up for our anthem. Let me stand up.
Oh, my goodness. Well, while you standing, you know, move briskly from side to side because love is the message.
Thank you.
And we are back. And that was Love is the Message. I dedicate that to all the first responders, to all the people who left their homes to go to Long Island, to go to Staten Island, to go to Jersey, to go to Connecticut and help the people who were in need as a result of Hurricane Sandy. But I dedicate Love is the Message this week to all our birthday people. But most of all, I dedicate Love is the Message for our president reelect, Barack Obama. Peace and blessing. And we're back. So we freestyling, baby. Call in 424-220-1862. The number is 424-220-1862. You can also reach me on Bree Life Radio at Twitter, Bree Life Radio at Facebook, and you can also send your questions, your concerns, and your constructive criticisms, of course, to BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. Without further ado, we're going to bring our new family member in the fold, International Booby, Booby Baby.
Yo. What's going down, everybody?
Peace, brother. Peace.
Yeah, y'all got to excuse me for a minute. I'm a little under the weather. You know, I got a bad cold, but I'm going to try and freestyle without coughing. That was a very good choice of songs because first part of the solution is brothers out there, we have to start loving each other a little more. And once we get that part together, we can pick up a good fight. Now, never in history, and correct me if I'm wrong, has black people set a good example on punishing and torturing the people that sell us out. And that's what we need to start doing. The black politicians and the black preachers and the black community organizers that are sending us down the road, we need to start busting their heads and letting their heads fly down the street to show an example that you don't sell out your own brother. Now, here's a little sample I'm talking about. We're trying to get rid of white supremacy, which is the man. Now, in the karate movies, you have to go through tiers of people to get there. And where we're at is the bottom. And we got to knock out all these black sellouts at the bottom level, then climb up, and it might be Chinese, knock them up, go up, knock out the Jews, and then finally get to the cracker, the man, white supremacist, and chop his head off. And then we can live in prosperity. But we need more soldiers, samurais, and pro marksmen, and brothers that really get down and get it down. And I get a lot of hints from brothers that we can intellectually do it. We can write our congressmen. We can ask the enemy for help. But there's no way that the enemy is going to look at a piece of paper or look at a document and say, oh, yeah, of course, nigger. We're going to give you your stuff because you were so intellectually smart. The white man doesn't work like that. And I know there's brothers on the line that fly heads as well because that's where the success is. So I just wanted to freestyle that real quick, put that in the air.
Well, we thank you for your point of view, Booby. Does anyone have anything to say about what our brother just said?
How you doing, Booby? What's going on?
All right. It's all good. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. You were on the show last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know what I like to look at just as an individual. You know, as I continuously say, you know, we can do a lot as a people. We can do a lot, you know, as a team, or, you know, some would look at it as, you know, a family. But I like to look at, you know, kind of the reasons behind it. Like what type of motive comes about when, you know, when you have this view or this this plan in mind, what are your feelings towards everything that would cause you to, you know, have these type of plans? Well, I study white supremacy, and I see how they get down. And the problem right now that we're talking about, you know, the black-on-black crime and the rape in our community and why we're not ahead economically is a result of white supremacy. So you have to fight fire with fire. So even though we have love in our hearts as black men and women, sometimes you have to get down and dirty. And that's what I believe is the solution. You know, I'm not, you know, this crazy person flying off the handle, but when you're dealing with a demon, you have to get demonic.
Yeah, but please, I mean, you know, I'm in no way, shape, or form, you know, I'm just, you know, asking a curious question. I don't know what, you know, there's a motive behind everything, you know, the proof of desire is in pursuit, you know, so that, you know, that's just the only reason why I was asking.
No problem. It sounds
so,
real.
So how do you contribute? I'm sorry.
I said it sounds real crazy when it's verbally put out there like that, so I can understand.
You know what, man. To be honest with you, you know, you know, a lot of things that we all say, you know, may seem crazy until we, you know, fully understand, you know, what, you know, the root of it. You know, I don't like. I'm not a person that looks at things that are, you know, say per se above the surface. You know, I like to get down to the root of it. You know, what are some things that you, I guess, you find yourself doing in, you know, I guess, taking action, you know, on what you believe?
Oh, you mean as far as community goes right now, at present time?
No, I mean, what are you as an individual, what do you find yourself doing as far as going into action? Of going into certain actions of what you believe, what do you find yourself doing as far as contributing?
Oh, well, of course, we have to have revenue. So, you know, I'm stacking my revenue, and then I have to find like-minded brothers out there that's ready to go to action. And then, of course, you know, I have to take care of my brothers, you know, feed, shelter, clothing, and of course, education. When I mean education in all areas, white supremacy, and the trades. And then once that's established, we can go to work, because I feel that once we do get our communities together, and as proof as in the past, they're going to try to burn it down anyway. So in my opinion, there's going to have to be some type of fight, a physical fight. So that's where I see myself in positioning.
Okay.
All right.
If you don't mind me asking.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just asking where you were from, if you didn't mind me asking.
Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota. Okay.
Minneapolis, Minnesota, yeah.
Okay. How far is that from East Coast, huh?
Oh, it's pretty far. Maybe like 1,000 miles, maybe 800.
Yeah. Like say from Pennsylvania to maybe St. Louis or probably a little bit farther than that, probably Kansas City.
Well, 6 hours, right? 6 hours from Kansas City, 6 hours from Chicago up north.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Okay. Brother Alvin, you have anything you'd like to say
to the
brother?
I'm just listening. Well, you know.
Alvin understands.
I do because, you know, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I've done a lot of research, especially like with Marcus Garvey, and he used to say the same thing. That, you know, you gotta get rid of the toms because they, you know, he used to say hang them by the fat of the neck, you know. But it's like because you know I don't know the times have changed so much that it's like if I try to strike out. It's like my own is turning me in. So it's like your hands are tied when you try to deal with certain things. You know, because I know who I used to hang around, and, you know, it's just looking at the times, it's like, you know, it's just a matter of organizing and you know, having a plan, you know.
Well,
that's
No, I'm sorry. Please
No, no, that was just where I'm at, you know, when I listen to the brother. Because, you know, I mean, you know, as much as we put up with as a people, sometimes you got, I mean, there's a point where you got to say enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that,
yeah.
That's.
You know what? One of the things that I look at, you know, we all have to pick and choose our battles wisely, you know, and you know, work on our decision making, you know, as individuals, you know, as you know, and as far as you know, as a country. And one of the things that I do look at, you know, I look at Barack Obama. And I look at all the people that were against him within the first couple of years while he was in office. And now I see him now, and it's amazing how, you know, he's won so many Republicans. He's got a lot of favor from Republicans. Please don't get it twisted, you know, but it was the same people that were completely against him for whatever reason. You know, but, you know, there were a lot of people that were against him in the beginning, but he found a way to kind of rise above that. And I'm not saying, I'm not trying to speak as a, you know, as a naive, as somebody that may possibly be naive. I'm not speaking like that at all, because I do believe that, you know, when it's time to get down and bump some heads and even take some heads off, you know, that's something we have to do. But at the same time, when we look at people, I think for me anyway, my belief, I think we should focus more so on rising above all the craziness and focus on trying to win them versus, you know, trying to go against them. I understand what we've been through, even as a people, you know, speaking, within the black sect, African American people. I understand that we've been through, you know, a lot, you know, even, you know, throughout the past 200 years, you know, so I understand that. And I understand some things won't change until, you know, we step up and, you know, and, you know, declare our voice. But I think at the same time, you know, what makes us better, and I think this is what makes our president so much better of a president, is that he chooses or he focuses on trying to take the high road, which is, you know what, I want this enemy to become my friend. So, you know, I'm not gonna become a doormat by no means at all. I'm not gonna become a doormat. I'm not going to be stepped all over or disrespected trying to win him. But at the same time, this is going to be our focus, because I believe that light always rules over darkness. You know, and that's the way I see it. I mean, I don't know. How do you view that, Bree, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I feel that no one should be a doormat. No race of should be anyone's doormat, hostage, slave, chattel, cattle, anything. I don't feel that.
Absolutely.
I also feel that we, of people of color, are in this country, are amongst the largest ethnic group of resource in terms of how we spend our money. And I think that we misallocate our spending for nonsensical things when we should be investing back into our communities at large. And I think that's where the focus has to be. One ideology is that you can't wait on government to help you. You have to help yourselves. But you also have to use your intelligence, your street smarts, your wits to utilize the resources that are available to you and make it work for you. Make those resources that are given to us so graciously and I'm being facetious when I say that, work for our community at large. And for those of us that are living in middle and upper class people of color, we need to reallocate our spending, and even lower income people, because as you know, there are people that make under $30,000 a year, and they're trying to figure out how they can buy a $1,000, $3,000, $5,000 pocketbook or a car that, should it break down, they're not going to even be able to afford the maintenance on it. I know someone that makes $90,000 a year, and he has a $100,000 car, and every time it breaks down, he's screaming and yelling.
Okay, wait a minute. Listen, like, he has $100,000. Why is that car breaking down? Why is that car? How long has he had that car?
A couple of years now.
Oh,
and
wow.
he complains every time he has to get a new tire, or you know, something goes on the engine and it's not covered, and then he takes it to be serviced and it's not covered under warranty. I mean, it's ridiculous. And he and I got in a big argument and actually stopped speaking for a couple of months because I told him, quite frankly, he needs to sell that car because he can't afford it. Anything that you cannot afford to maintain, you shouldn't have it. That's like getting these houses with these upside down mortgages. You make, you bring home in a month, you bring home $3,600 a month, but your mortgage is $3,300 for a 5,000 square foot house that it would cost to put $1,000 of propane heat tank, I mean propane gas in a tank to heat 5,000 square feet of space. You can't afford that house. I mean, like Barack Obama said during the campaign, you know, math does not lie. People lie, but arithmetic does not lie.
That's,
I mean,
so
can I get an amen from the chorus?
That's
word.
An amen.
That's a word.
That's straight up and down the truth. Straight up and down the
truth. So what I'm saying is that we have to reprogram and retrain ourselves how we do things.
Yeah.
Because the way we have been going on doing things for many years is not right. And it has led us down the path of our own destruction. You know, I had a show, some of you may remember, 3 weeks ago I had a show about healing for the holidays. And some of us on the line here may not be too far removed from having grown up in an urban neighborhood. So you know, this time of the year, on parents especially, is very difficult because they're under the press, they're under pressure to try to buy their children stuff that will, that they're either, you know, going to break in an hour, or that, for instance, those PlayStation and Xbox games that cost an average of $50 a pop, the machine itself costs about $400. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, we have to learn how to reprogram ourselves and live within our means.
Yeah.
So that whatever money we have, we can reinvest it into our families, which benefits the community at large. If everyone thought about that and reprogrammed themselves and thought about what, you know, I'm not big into Christmas anyway, but if it's supposed to be a holiday celebrating the Christ of Jesus, the birth of Jesus Christ, which we know he wasn't born on December 25th, that this is all about commercial spending. I mean, I saw an ad on a television ad today on for Walmart. Do you know Walmart is going to be open on Thanksgiving evening?
And they can afford it. And they can afford it because they don't pay the workers, because they're against union. They don't pay the benefits. They pay a minimum, a low wage. So that's why their sales are so great, because the money's not going towards the people. But what we have to learn is that we have to keep our money within our community. See, we keep spending outside the community, you know, and that's where it's hurting us.
And as quiet as kept, a lot of the Walmart products are made through the prison industrial system.
Hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a business in itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so
why they want us.
I'm sorry. So my point exactly is that we should refocus, reprogram ourselves going into 2013 with this president's second term, and say to ourselves how we are going to make our lives first, because when you get on the airplane, before the plane takes off, the flight attendant gives instructions on an emergency situation and what could happen if the plane is going down. And she first tells you, put the oxygen mask on yourself first,
mm-hmm.
and then help the person next to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, you know, without being selfish, because there are some people that have very selfish perspectives, you know, and how they conduct themselves in their lives. But we have to help ourselves, meaning our home first, and then mushroom out to our community, and then mushroom out beyond that. We have to teach ourselves new behavior. But with that being said, we're going to go to commercial, and we'll be right back. And when we come back, guess what? 10:05, I'm going freestyle. Stay tuned.
It is important for you to get your healthy dose of the Breathe Life Radio Show, because when you miss the Breathe Life Radio Show, you miss moments like this.
And of course, there's those are there that they get mad for holding mattress money. They got mad for holding mattress money.
And this?
The reason why a certain group of women attract themselves to internet dating is so that they can lie, and lie.
We can't forget about this.
I had a stalker. I had to get an order of protection. You got a woman that you've been with for 7 years, so you do it. You're right.
Come on, Bree. Don't stop it.
It's real talk about real life. Inhale and breathe light.
So let's take that deep breath in, because we're about to go in.
It's the Breathe Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Catch us at blogtalkradio.com/Breathe Life.
And we're back. It's the Breathe Life Radio Show. It's Freestyle Thursdays, and that is what we are doing, baby. We are freestyling. Call in the 424-220-1862. That number again is 424-220-1862. So, it's the top of the hour. Guess what it's time for? Breathe Freestyle. Well, how do I count the ways? No, I'm really, really trying. I'm really, really, really trying to love my brothers, but my brothers just be trying to patience. Okay. Yeah. So, I'm at the gas station this week. on a Monday. And I'm standing on line with a plastic container, not a gasoline container, an Era 2-liter bottle container that my mother was so generous to give me on my quest to journey out and find gas, because I don't have a gas container. And I, Brother E on one of my Facebook friends, he was so generous in telling everyone on Facebook where they could find gas, because he was lucky enough to fill up his tank Monday morning. So I go to the gas station that he suggested, and they didn't have any more gas. So I went down the block, and at the Getty gas station, there was a six-block line for vehicles to get gas. And then when I drove up the block to park around the corner, because I figured, look, I'll just stand on the line, and it'll be faster than, you know, driving. I get on this line that had about maybe 15 people ahead of me. And then as soon as I got online, maybe about another 20 people got online behind me. And they're all men, and they had an average of 2 to 3 gas containers apiece with them. I'm standing there with a white Era bottle, and they got, and the brothers got 2 or 3 gas receptacles that they're holding. So there was a guy in back of me with a 1 gallon gas jug and a 5 gallon, or maybe even bigger than that. I don't know how many gallons a Poland Spring bottle holds, maybe 5 to 10 gallons. So the owner of the gas station walks the people on the line, and he says, you must have a container that says gasoline on it. If it doesn't say that, we are not going to allow you to get gas, because it's a $5,000 fine per individual to the gas station owner.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Mm. So I'm like, oh, my God, what the hell am I going to do now? So the guy in back of me, I'm sorry, the gentleman in front, and I use that term very sparingly, in front of me, who had 2 2-gallon containers, I said to him, sir, since they're only allowing individuals to fill up one container, could I use the one that you're not going to be able to fill up and use that to fill up the gas so I could at least get enough gas to go back home? Because I live in Crown Heights, and I was in Canarsie. So the gentleman said, sure. So the line is moving, and then he starts talking to the only woman other than myself that was on this very long line. He starts speaking to her, and then he turns around and tells me he can't let me use the container. Like,
so he took it back.
So he took it back. We had that show, Given and Taken Back, okay? And I was like, oh, my God. So then the guy that was standing in back of me with the 1 gallon jug and the 10 gallon water bottle container says, I'll let you use, what I'll do is I'll go in front of you, I'll fill up my 1 gallon jug, pour it in the Poland Spring bottle, and then give it to you, and you could at least get enough gas to get home. So now I said, public service announcement. You see this man standing in back of me? Pull out your camera phones and take a picture, because he's a real man. Well, of course, you know, I almost incited a riot, but I didn't care.
The truth always incites a riot.
Because I'm like, this is how brothers are getting down? I don't understand it. Then, once I made that public service announcement to 50 people, the man standing in back of the real gentleman that was trying to help me said, Miss, don't get upset with those dimples. I'll call my wife. I'll call my wife. She's in the car. And I have one more container. It's only a gallon, but at least you'll be able to get home. I said, public service announcement number two. You see this man standing here? Pull out your camera phones. Because this is an anomaly. Two men in the same space.
Mm.
I give up. That's my freestyle.
Mm. Like I said, that's a damn shame. But that's the selfishness. You got two. You can only use one. I've been trying to figure out where does this selfishness come from? I mean, it's all types of selfishness, but you know, it's like it keeps going lower and lower and lower. You know, I just can't figure it out. And let me share what
my last comment was at the end of the public service announcement. My last comment was 75% of the people on this line probably went to church yesterday. I said, you are all a bunch of fake-ass Christians. Because you came out of church talking about I'm my brother's keeper and your sister is standing here on the line with no gas in her truck and you all have two and three receptacles and only can fill up one. And I'm standing here holding a white era detergent bottle. That's my freestyle for tonight. I give up. Now, you know.
What are you giving up on?
I'm feeling a little wore out this week. I don't know if it's because of the storm itself, the devastation it's caused to our tri-state area. I'm a very sensitive person. I don't like to see people suffering and in pain. I see people homeless. I see houses that have been turned upside down, shorelines that don't even exist anymore. I have friends that are first responders and they ain't been home in 3 and 4 days. You know, this is a ripple effect. And one of the things that I did not like the most about not being able to get gas is because I'm a nurse. And I wanted to go out there and help some people. And I couldn't because I had no way to get to them. I'm not talking about working in the local community because I live in an area of Brooklyn that's the highest point in Brooklyn. So with the wind might have knocked some trees down. I didn't hear about any lines coming down, thank goodness. I don't know of anybody in Crown Heights that lost power. So we didn't have problems with water and devastation. And I live in a neighborhood that has most of the brownstones in Brooklyn. So we don't have bric-a-brac houses. We don't have frame houses here. So the wind is not good. The big bad wolf are not knocking down these brownstone and large pre-war buildings, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I felt like a hostage in my own life. And if I felt that way, not being affected by the devastation, could you imagine how the people who have been affected feel?
Oh.
And I'm standing among 50 men, and not one of them would give me a gallon of gas.
Oh, that's crazy.
Now, I'm a woman of color. I live in New York. I'm middle-aged and I'm single. Now, how do you think that makes me feel being among a bunch of black men that would not stand up for their black woman and give her a gallon of gas?
You know what I'm about to say already, right?
Go on, let it roll. Because that's what we do it. We freestyle.
We're not giving each other any consequences. Black men are letting other black men run amok. We stand by and we look and we see brothers off their square and we turn the other cheek. When a brother is out of line, whether it's from another brother or another sister, that brother has to be checked morally. And since we're not taking, since black men are not taking charge of setting the rules and making sure other brothers are in line, this is going to continue.
Well, you know what? I lost in and it's coming up the second anniversary that 2 days before Thanksgiving, I was attacked on Flatbush Avenue. I mean, brutally attacked, where I was put in the hospital by a black man. And other black men stood by watching me. So every time something like this happens to me, it makes me lose faith in my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that there's a thread of disdain and disappointment running in me right now. And that's unfortunate.
Wow.
Because I love my brothers. I love them. But I didn't feel no love this week. None. None.
Yeah. See, I'm sorry to hear about that story, man. It's like I said, we just ain't doing it. I'm not gonna give a sermon, but we're just not doing it.
Well, you have to give a sermon, but you can freestyle about it. That's what our forum is about.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to be too repetitious, you know, saying same thing over and over, you know. But it's simple. We're not doing nothing. Shit, we're just nothing. We're just going through life, partying, and drinking, smoking, and doing it to everything that moves, and it stops right there. That's where our community is in shambles. The police is running them up, you know, and the youth is shooting each other in the brain, and the older brothers just keep on driving by. And the evidence is in the community. So I'm not just, you know, making this up, man. I go through it every day, you know, whether I'm driving or catching the bus, and I see people out of line, you know, I don't disrespectfully check them, but I'm like, hey, you know, hey, young cat, you know, there's kids and there's Elliot around, man, you know, the cussing and the loudmouth, come on, you know. If I have to get down, I'll get down, but, you know, I come through and respect me. Okay, OG, I understand, my man, but I'm always the only one doing it. And like you said, it gets real disparaging at some point, man.
Yep.
Like you said, the hope is just diminishing. You know, I have more sisters helping me out in my endeavors in the community than brothers.
And right.
It's tough. It's tough being a community activism when brothers do not want to participate.
Well, right now we have two calls coming in. We're going to pick up the call from 309-648. We're bringing you online right now. Peace and blessings. You've reached the Bree Life Radio Show. We're freestyling. And what is your name and what is your freestyle?
Hey, holiday greetings to you too, Miss Bree. This is General Parker from Peoria.
General!
Peace, bro.
Peace, General. What's your freestyle tonight?
Oh, you know, I never participated in your freestyle, so excuse me if I don't get it right, you know, the format and stuff, but I'll just listen to you.
There's
guys.
There's no format. Freestyle.
Okay. But,
speak about what's in your mind and your heart heavy.
Oh, well, some of the stuff that you guys are talking about, on my mind, you know, real heavy. I was speaking to somebody earlier today about that. But, my brother said he's the only one that speaks out, but he doesn't really know that, you know. he might be the only one that spoke out at that time, but at that time of the day, it could have been all kind of young kids coming through there, people speaking to him all the time. I was on the bus one day, and I had little junior high kids talking, I mean, just smack, you know, cussing, talking nasty, talking to the girl nasty, she talking back to them. And there was a lady back there, she had two little kids, you know, and she didn't say nothing, you know. So I had to step up and say something. But I understand where she was coming from, because she might have been scared to talk to those little kids. But nowadays, you don't know what you get with these kids. But at the same time, I used to get on those little kids. I used to judge them, too, till I learned, you know. If these kids are growing up and they don't have a role model to teach them how they're supposed to act out in public, if they don't have a dad around there growing up in the house, how you expect a little boy to act like a young man supposed to act, because he doesn't have a model, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa, if they don't have a mom around, or the little girls, if they don't have a dad to teach them how a man is supposed to treat them, you know, then they're going to accept anything. See, so we got to look back and see how this stuff has been progressing over the years, because it was a plan 40, 50, 60 years ago to get the man out the house, especially in the black community. You know, and
mm-hmm.
not only through welfare, but through mass incarceration and a lot of other things, through drugs and everything else. So, you know, when these kids don't see a man, or the man that they see that's out there, if it's a pimp, the hustler, the drug dealer, the gangbanger, whoever, you know, they're growing up and that's all mama got running in and out of the house, you know, we shouldn't be surprised if that's the way the kids act, because the guys weren't around, and I really can't blame them, because... Well, I can blame some of them, but the ones I really blame are the ones who know better and don't do anything that's better to help uplift their community. Those are the ones that I go after, like the black leaders we was talking about last night.
Right, right. General, I want you to stay on the line with us. We're going to bring on another caller from the 314 area code. Peace and blessings. You reached the Bree Life Show. We're freestyling. What's your name and what's your freestyle?
Yeah, this is Bianchi. How you doing?
Hello, how are you?
You know, in today's society where you hear so much, you know, you have different women have from a political standpoint, has brought a lot of these things upon themselves. You know, like what you said, that there were no men want to offer you some gasoline, I think your case were. But, you know,
no,
nowadays,
not that offer me the gasoline. Offer me the proper receptacle, because when I went to the gas station, I didn't have the proper receptacle. I only had an empty soap detergent bottle.
Well, I see what you're saying now. Maybe they won't let you put gas in anything. But here's the point. You know, women nowadays, and I'm talking about black women, they have an attitude that's, you know, you can find yourself in a position where you want to open the door for somebody. Oh, I can get my own, that's all right. Or even in some cases on a job, if you do something like that, well, they can have you charged with, what do they call that?
Harassment.
Absolutely. And I have heard of cases like that where a male worker offered to carry something or pick up something or open the door, and the woman charged him for harassment. I was on another site where they was talking about that bus driver in Cleveland that after he was attacked and spit on, and he turned, got up and, you know, hit this drunk lady, and threw her off the bus, and she get back on and want to have another altercation with him and make it sound as if the man was in the fault. So we're in a different society today for a whole lot of reasons, and you have this subculture for a whole lot of reasons. So how best is it for a person to deal with it?
Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show. You have been on the Bree Life Radio Show before. I remember your voice. Haven't you?
Probably so, on a different topic.
Yes, and I appreciate you calling in. Here's what I want to say about your comment. First of all, there is a systemic problem, and it is synonymous with what General has just highlighted, that when You become what you see. So when you are not in a household where you see respect is the
yeah.
foundation of your existence,
yeah.
you can. You, it's hard to expect a lot from an individual to a point, because I feel that just because you might have seen disrespect in your house, you got to come outside of your house and interact with the global world. And we are living in the information and technological age and media age where you could turn on TV and see different images. Just because the images in your house may not be that positive, there are positive people that are around you, just maybe indirectly. And I know I get a lot of heat sometimes for using the Cosby Show, but instead of using fictional characters, I'll use two non-fictional characters of my own, my mother and my father. I was lucky to grow up in a house to see my father disrespect my mother. That's why I expect so much from men, because I do not understand, I cannot comprehend a man disrespecting me, especially when I didn't provoke it in him. To speak to the point that you made about the young lady on the bus that spat and slapped the bus driver. So this is my feeling on that. I understand what you're saying. And where you're talking about women who don't necessarily want a man to open their car door or open a door to a building for them, you know what? If that's really how they're rolling, I'm not her. I'm a lady all day long, and I want to be treated like that. But first, it has to start with me. And when you see me behaving in a certain manner, that's why I expect so much from the people who are around me, because when I am conducting myself in an honorable, upright, respectable way, whether it's a man or woman that I'm interacting with, I want to be respected. Now, is that so much to ask? Is
well,
that
you know,
so much to ask of a person?
Well, what you're saying, see, the problem is though, Bree. The problem with that is that the camera is not rolling on you. The camera that all the nation and the world actually see is what we just described with the woman on the bus, or the two women that jumped over the counter at the Burger King. And the one girl said, lady said, I'm going to F you up at the brother. And he runs and comes into the back, comes out with a rod and start beating them both of them. And they're hollering for somebody to call the police. So that's what people see. Then when you come along, guess what? They're going to associate you without even knowing who you are, or you haven't even opened your mouth, with the characters that they've seen in those videos.
But me, myself, as a man.
So in fairness to your comment, and then I'll let the panel speak. In fairness to your comment, that is a double-edged sword, because it's happening with men, women doing it to men. Not all of us, but some of us. And as you clearly have defined and described, it's happening for men dealing with women. So my question to the panel is, what do we do about that? We have identified what the problem is. We haven't gotten to its core, its nucleus. But what do we do about that?
Well, first,
I'm gonna put this question to.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, whoever that was, continue.
No, that was me, Bree. I just wanted to say that first. When we see that behavior out of certain women, like I'm gonna speak for myself, I could never use them as a measuring stick for every woman. You know, when I see that woman doing it, and I don't know whether that's because of the way I was raised or anything, but if I see that woman acting like that, I look at that woman. You know, it's just like every relationship I've been in. Every woman I dated, that I never looked at what happened with the last one and took it into with the next one. You know, when I see it, I see it. When I don't, I'm like, I can't hold all the women accountable for what a few that might lose their mind might do, and vice versa. And, but that's just me. You know, I deal with them accordingly. I like, you know, I love to respect women. And, you know, they, you know, it's mutual. It's mutual. If,
okay.
If it's, you know, that's just me.
That's a word.
Ubi, yeah, you wanted to like say.
Yeah, I would like to say, I give an example of what I'm talking about. First of all, brothers have to learn to love one another, or we can't love our women, period. Now, the example that I'm going to use is the McDonald's incident and the bus driver incident. If, and this is what I do, even though the faith is diminishing for my brothers, I'm going to always have my brothers back. Now,
mm-hmm.
both cases, black men watched, sit and watched. Both cases, black men sit and watch these women disrespect these men and didn't say nothing. All it took was one brother to say, hey, sister, you're out of line. I might have to twist you up, apologize to this man, but this negative behavior will not continue. And it would have dispersed both incidences. So when brothers start taking up for each other and loving each other, there's no way these sisters are going to be out of line because we united in that certain circumstance. But when these women started to get beat up, oh, brothers came out the woodwork to save her. Not saying that they should, but where was the mentality when the brother needed help from another brother? There lies the problem.
Okay.
That's word.
General?
I got a question for this brother. Just speaking, I don't know his name, so I don't mean to be disrespectful, but you said if other brothers had said something, the brother that's on the bus, driving the bus, and got everybody's life in his hand, and this woman sitting up there arguing with him, fussing and fighting with him, grabbing him around the throat, spit in his face. Now, if she's not respecting that authority, what makes you think she's going to respect anybody else that's going to say anything to her on the bus? You know, they'll become another mark of hers. That's what I believe. What do you think?
The brother, 314 area code, or was he talking to me?
No, he was talking to you, Booby.
Oh, well, I mean, you can't. I've dealt with situations like that before, and when I step up and assert myself, women really don't. Women really only pick on men that they really know they think they know they can get away with. But when you step to a female and you're strong and assertive, and you tell them you're gonna twist them up, usually, see, here's where it goes again. The violence. It sounds barbaric, but I look, you know, and this goes for, you know, everybody, not just women. When it's ready to get down, whew, it's ready to get down. And women and men respect that. And if not, then it's the twisting begins. So you have to force the respect sometimes.
I'm not going to lie. I've been
all right, I need to hear from Duane right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, if I could just take a few moments, because something you said was key, Bree, and that is that you are what you see, or you are what you hang around. Not that solely dictates your decision making, but
mm-hmm.
at the same time, it's hard to do something when you haven't seen it illustrated in, you know, growing up. And I'll give you an example. And this right here, this topic actually answers a lot of questions, mainly yours, Bree, if you could pick it up. But you know, as all of you know, I used to be married, and I actually thought that I was a pretty good husband to my wife. I mean, you know, coming from what I feel I've sold into my family and into my house. You know, I supported my wife's business, took care of bills in the house. You know, I made sure I went to, you know, to all of her events. She was a director for Mary Kay, and she also sung. And I mean, you know, she would sing for like really big churches. You know, so it would be kind of like, you know, a lot of big events where, you know, I wouldn't mainly be in front, but I would be right there beside, you know, beside my wife. So I was a good supporter, you know, beyond shadow of doubt, I was a good supporter. And, you know, everything, I encouraged my wife day by day. But there was a problem when she didn't like the things, because, first of all, you're not going to like everything about a person. You're just not, no matter what relationship you get into. And when things go down in a relationship and you start to get tired of certain things, you know, then you go back to what's familiar. And, you know, I actually found out that my wife was unfaithful in our relationship. And so I'm sitting here and I'm beating myself beside the head, like, you know, why would she do this? You know, I'm asking myself, you know, I'm just going through that period, you know, because I'm just in complete shock. But you know what? I come to find out that, you know what, she's never been in a faithful relationship. That's number one. She's been cheated on herself. That's number two. And no one in her family is faithful to their spouses. No one. You know. So this is where a lot comes in, because, you know, would it be fair for me to judge every other woman off of the woman that I just came from, even though I felt like that was the closest person to me on planet Earth, just because I felt like, you know, this was the love of my soul? You know, should I judge every woman off of that one? No, I cannot. It's not fair to me, and it's not fair to anybody else. That would be completely wrong of me to do, no matter what happened to me in this relationship. You know, you have to understand that, you know, to each is his own, and everybody has their paths in life. And depending on how people were raised and what they believe and their hurts, and it's a lot to take into consideration, but it all forms within one person. It's not everyone, you know. And you know, so, I mean, it just goes back to that. You know, you are what you see. You are what you hang around. What is illustrated, you know, that's what you go by. You know, there's a scripture, you know, that I'm reminded of. You know, I don't know if any of you are familiar with, you know, scriptures in the Bible, but it says that when you train up a child in the way they should go, when he grows old, he won't depart from it. You know, that's both positively and negatively. That's something that you have to, when something is illustrated in your life, you have to find a way to break that cycle off, because if not, you're going to always go back to what's familiar, you know. So I cannot judge everyone. I can't judge, if I was a woman, I can't judge every man, every black man off of the ones that I've encountered. If, you know, me being a black man, since I've been through my experiences, I cannot judge every black woman off of the woman that I came from, no matter how good I was and how bad she was within the relationship. You know, that's just not, it's just not right. It's not living in reality. No matter how bad you've been hurt, you're not living in reality if you find yourself prejudging or judging, whatever you like to call it, judging someone else based off of what you went through with a completely different person. That was a completely different world you was dealing with, a completely different path of life you was dealing with. And I can't do that to everybody I see based off of that one world that I experienced, or the few worlds that I experienced. I cannot do that. There are so many, you know, so many good men and so many good women out there. And I, you know, when I get married again, I'm going to marry me, I desire to marry me a sister. You know, some people get scared and, you know, they try to venture off to, you know, different races. You know, that's their thing. That's their flow. And, you know, it is what it is. Each is his own. But for me, I'm not losing faith in my sister at all. You know, I can't do that. I cannot judge anybody else off of where I come from. It's not living in reality. It's not. And so, I mean, that's just my piece on it, you know.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
To the gentleman in the 314 area code, what say you about what you've heard so far?
Well, we have to use some, you know, my daughter wanted to marry two people, and I've done background checks on them, and I told her no. And I think falling in love is one thing, but who you end up marrying, you need to know who it is you marry, not only them, but also their family. And it just makes common sense. I mean, other societies do that as we speak, but we just don't do that in this society. And the way society is today with the subculture that we have within black society, no one can say it don't exist because it does exist. People just have to take precautions. Now, one thing that I would say, you know, the one gentleman was talking about the men don't help. We don't spend enough time teaching our young boys the things that they need to do, whereas when they become men, we expect of them. So we have to spend a lot more time, whether it's in the boys' clubs, on sports team, coaching,
yep,
like I do. And I'm not just teaching them how to perform and utilize their skills in a particular sport, but we also have some life, some time out, and let's discuss some life circumstances that goes along with everything else. And that's very helpful because many of these children don't have a father at home, a father figure, a male figure that can teach them. You know, a young lady would never know what to expect out of a husband if she has never seen that played out between a mother and a father in a house. So it's like a crapshoot, like a throw of the dice. Yes. But when we don't build those homes, build those families, and the gentleman that had the experience with the lady, you know, it's just unfortunate. And I'm just, what else can I say? But those things do happen. I wish they didn't happen as much as they do, but, you know, it could have been a lot worse.
You're absolutely right. Does anyone else have anything that they want to share about this particular freestyle?
Yeah, this is General. Hey, I want to say to the brother who said that he can't hold the other women accountable for what his wife did, his ex-wife did, or whatever. Nah, he can't hold them accountable for what she did, but he can learn from the experience because we go through things for a reason and there's a lesson to be learned. So, yeah, he can still look at women and say, yeah, you know, I know that this can happen and this is capable of happening. And if a woman is really true, whatever you put up there, you know, whatever walls or whatever, if she really wants to be there and she's trying to show you that she's different, she'll help you work through that, you know, so that way you don't have to be dealing with this situation all over again. So if you go in the same situation, the guard's down and everything, and you're susceptible to having it happen to you all again, okay? And the reason I'm saying that is the culture that we live in now today is different. And, Bree, we talked about this on some previous shows when we were talking about custody and stuff. There's a thing out there now called VAWA. It's the Violence Against Women's Act. Okay, and it's that same mentality to have that little girl go on that bus and do that to that bus driver, you know, and all these other situations, you know. I mean, you can be at home, and a woman to sit up there and talk to you any kind of way, she'll hit you, she'll throw things at you. So if you raise your voice to her, you did wrong. I mean, I had a brother send me that video of that girl doing that to that bus driver. But the thing was, it was attached to a clip they showed on The View. And Whoopi Goldberg had made a comment, and I really ain't no big Whoopi fan, but I appreciate her telling the truth then. She said, well, what these women need to understand is that when you get up in somebody's face and you disrespect them and you put your hands on them or you spit on somebody, I don't think it is. You got to expect to be hit back. And do you know most of the rest of the women that go, oh, no, you don't. He's a man. He's a man. No, they ain't for you. Can sit there and talk about the guys and then stand up and say nothing else, but I guarantee you the way this society is going right now is that if you're a man, you're supposed to sit up there and you're supposed to take it from a woman and you ain't supposed to say or do nothing. Now, I don't agree with that. But evidently society agrees with that because you look at that same tape. No, didn't nobody say nothing while she was doing her thing. But the minute he hit her back, now he was wrong. And that's just the mentality that we got going on. And a lot of times some women would even falsely accuse their guys, especially if you got kids. That's another thing we dealt with in the custody issue. If you got kids, a woman can sit up there and call the police and accuse you of doing something that you never even did. And you put out your house, there's an order of protection against you, you can't see your kids, you can't do nothing. And you ain't even been to court yet.
Well, you know, that works both ways with orders of protection. Because there are men that have
I know that, and I understand it, but we were talking about how the women were.
Wait, let me have my say now. There are men that have falsely accused women of things because they were scorned because the woman didn't want them anymore. The woman wanted out of a relationship that was dysfunctional. We are living in a society now where it's almost dangerous to be in a relationship or love somebody.
Yeah.
Horrible way to think. Those words coming out of my mouth make me feel physically ill because I'm a very loving person. But I have seen the best of people and the worst of people in the last 10 years.
Right. But Bree, let me tell you something.
And I know that it's I know that it's more highlighted when a woman is doing it to a man.
And
also,
the
one thing that we never talk about in these domestic violence situations or allegations or whatever is the one thing in court that they require before a ruling is put in place is that word discovery.
Right.
When there is evidence beyond a shadow of a doubt that a man has whooped on a woman and has done several things to her in the past that falls in the category of battery, what are we talking about?
And that's
well, you know, spousal battery go both ways, Bree. And on the bus, But suppose a bus driver had, you see, black women don't respect black males because if that bus driver had to call the police and a white police officer had came on the scene, would she have respected him? Or if she had hit him, now look at this. If she had hit that white police officer, he had all the right in the world to pull his gun and shoot her dead. Then where would it have went?
Well, we had a freestyle a couple of weeks ago, about a month or so ago, when that video went viral over the internet about this situation. And anyone who wants to go back and listen to that freestyle, it's in Bree Life Radio Archives, where I had a panel similar to this, more than a handful of men, and I was the only woman. And no women called in that night, only men. And I went on record to say that I have been a victim of domestic violence. And I do not agree with any man putting their hands on a woman. But, in turn, I don't agree with any woman putting her hands on a man unless she's defending herself.
There you go.
Well, you know,
okay.
Domestic violence and public assault.
Let me finish. I want to give you my comments about what I feel about this situation. Now, first of all, it's bad enough you put your hands on me. But you're going to do something that is so awful by spitting on me, too, and you're doing this while I'm in control of a large motor vehicle that's got 3 dozen people, let's say, on it. That woman put her life in jeopardy and everybody else's life in jeopardy on the bus by her behaving that way. Okay, that's number one. Number two, when she was wrong as two left shoes when she got on the bus in the first place because she didn't have no money.
Yep.
And instead of being humble and saying, you know, in an inside quiet voice, talk to the bus driver and say, sir, you know, I'm on my way to work, but I don't have any money. Could you allow me to get on the bus just so that I could get to work? If she would approach the bus driver that way, perhaps let her ride for no fear. And she could have sat down, and the day would have been different for the both of them.
Yep.
But she already, wrong as two left shoes, she was very aggressive and then got upset when she got the response that she. So now that provoked her to put her hands on the bus driver and spit on him while the bus is in motion? Okay, now that's point number three. Machine going on.
Somebody got the fax.
Oh no, who is that?
Somebody multitasking.
I don't even know. I wish they'd turn it off.
Okay. I think it was the gentleman with the 3414 area code. I hope he calls back. The third point I want to make is when the bus driver got up and has everyone on this line saw that video?
Mm-hmm. I sure did.
He uppercut her. Where he was like, you remember Jackie Gleason used to say, to the moon, Alice? With that uppercut, Alice would have actually went to the moon, as big as Jackie Gleason was. And it's the same thing with how the impact, because I heard her jaws clench from the impact of that punch. So When he punched her and then swung her around like a rag doll, threw her off the bus, threw her stuff off the bus, he should have then closed the doors, radio dispatch, and either they would have called the police or he could have called the police. He, first of all, I understand being that upset, but I don't know. But you see, this is what happens. In a split second, you can make a decision that will change your life forever, and not in a positive way.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's very, you know, there was only one man that walked the earth that was able to turn his cheek. That was Jesus Christ. Okay? There are not a lot of people walking the earth's surface that might take as much abuse as that man took on the bus that day. And you don't know what kind of day he had before he sat down in that chair and turned the engine on.
There you go.
You don't know if he had a fight with his wife, if he had a hard time with his dispatcher, if he's having financial problems, then you're going to put fuel on a flame such as that by putting your hands on somebody? That's a little much.
But Brittany, That bus driver could have won the Nobel Peace Prize that morning, and he wouldn't have been able to take everything that girl was dishing out to him that day. He caught everything.
She was off the hook. We're going to take a call of 702 area code right now. Season blessings, you've reached Free Life Radio. We're freestyling. What's your name?
Yeah, I had to call back. My line went crazy. But you know, I'm gonna say real quick, you the only female. Like I was on another blog, other BTR. This female, the man, they was totally. It was two of them. The man was totally wrong. But I
heard
what
you
said. Yeah, I've heard what you said, and you you know, I respect what you're saying because you saying it, I think, the way it happened. And another point they don't want, you talking about this lady should have been charged with two counts of assault. First time she hit him, then she gets back on the bus and gets into another altercation.
Exactly.
Plus, two, it could have been assault with a deadly weapon when she spit it on him because she would have needed to have taken the HIV test.
And also, she could have spat in his eye while the bus was in motion. He could have lost vision, and the whole damn bus could have turned over, killing everybody.
And this driver had over two decades of an impeccable record until this fool gets on there, had a family, a wife, children, grandchildren. Now, look at what this person have done with an irresponsibility and disrespect and so on and so on and so on. And as I say before, the other conversation about the disrespect of black men to black women, but if he had to call the police and a white police officer had to show up on the scene, all this thing about male respecting women who had went out the window because the first time she raised her hand to him, he could have pulled his gun and killed her.
Yes, he could have. Yes, he could have. And I wouldn't be surprised if she acts that way all the time, regardless if there's an authoritative figure in the room or her own mother. The way she got on that bus was disgraceful.
Well, the story read that, first of all, she wasn't charged at all, even though witnesses gave their statement. And then the police gave him a ride to work. Now, I'm saying that.
No, they should have been giving her a ride to the precinct.
Yeah.
Because I've
seen
people get locked up for less than that.
Of course. The point is that I'm making, yeah. The point is that I'm making, what I'm saying that is, we as black people, because I remember back in the day, we never called the police on each other. We had all our differences. We sat down sometime and talked about it, or we duked it out, or the parents were called. But we, as black people, back in the day, never involved the authorities. Now, the authorities, they want things to be lopsided. So they're going to take whoever is more belligerent and let them go free to play the community. You see, now, when in the cases of domestic violence, there's lots of cases where men beat their women half to death and get off because they want these type of people on the street. But it's our fault for not taking care of our own community, policing our own community, having rules like we used to. We got lazy, and now we let government handle our issues, and this is the result.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example of policing your own community. It's very personal to me. It was about my son when he was in seventh grade. A boy was bullying him, and it got to the point where, for those of you on the phone that are from Brooklyn and you know the boulevard that I'm about to say, you know that that's a very dangerous and busy boulevard, and it's Empire Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
My son, trying to get away, boy, ran out of the school and ran across Empire Boulevard, not even knowing if traffic was coming in either direction, four-lane boulevard. Mm. Almost got hit by a bus.
Mm.
By the time they called me and told me that, I almost had a heart attack as I'm trying to get to the school because I couldn't believe that my son was so frightened that he just would run out in damn traffic. So I get to the school, and I'm talking to the principal because I already been up to the school three times in 2 weeks about this boy. So the dean said, "Are you free tomorrow?" I said, "If I have to be, why?" He said, "I'm going to call his mother, his parents tonight, and insist that they come in school, else he can't return to school." I said, "Okay, I'll be here in the morning." I waited from 8 o'clock in the morning to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. These parents never showed up. You know what I did? I went to the dean's office. I said, "Go get that kid and bring him in the office." because I'm going to have a conversation with him. Sometimes you got to take things in your own hands. He came in the office. I brought up a picture on my phone of my son. I said, "Do you know this kid?" He said, "Yes." I said, "What's his name?" He said, "My son's name." I said, "What is the problem? Do you have a problem with him?" He said, "Well, you know, he just thinks he's so smart." I said, "And what else?" He's just going, you know, nothing that would say that he provoked him. I said, "Let me ask you, just straight out, has Glenn ever threatened you?" He said, "No." He said, "Has Glenn ever put his hands on you?" He said, "No." I said, "So why do you think that you have the right to terrorize my son every day?" I said, "I'm going to tell you, you see this picture? You know what my son looked like?" I said, "You better act like he have bubonic plague, H1N1, and every bad disease known to man, because your mother and your father will not come up to the school to deal with me, but they will deal with me if I got a knock on that door." And I said, "If you don't like what I said, go home and tell your mother and father and have them waiting here for me tomorrow." I said, "Now, am I going to have to come up here and have another conversation with you?" He said, "No, ma'am." I said, "Okay, have a nice day." Because that is the only child that I have or that I'll ever have. I'm a very active parent. These parents don't participate enough in what's going on in the schools, and I understand that some parents can't participate because they got to work 2 and 3 jobs to hold everything down. And that's what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. Maybe our school system needs to have some flexibility where they have PTA meetings held on the weekends so parents can have more participation. But this goes to say, you cannot excuse bad behavior, especially when it's violent. If my son would have died running out of that school, getting hit by a bus or a car, do you know? Now, many of you on the line here know me personally. Do you know what that would have done to me, my only child? I would have felt just like that woman that lost her son over a bottle, over a drink and a bag of Skittles. This is what we're doing to each other, and it's got to stop. It's got to stop. It's got this disrespect and this violence towards one another, this blatant hatred that we have that's ingrained in us for whatever reason. It's got to stop. We got to do something to reprogram ourselves so that we can be better people, because we're not going to, our society as we know it is not going to survive if we're killing each other the way we are, if we're hurting and maiming each other how we are. That's my freestyle.
Well, you know, if I could say on that other case with the lady on the bus, you mean to tell me that the police took her to her job?
Mm-hmm.
It took her to work.
They
should have took her to the precinct.
Well,
and locked her up, and that's where she should be to today until all this is worked out. I don't think that man should lose his job.
Well, whatever her job is, I hope she wasn't driving the bus.
Oh. Nah, she was some type of cocktail waitress at a restaurant.
I don't believe that man.
And she already drunk. She's already drunk, then she's going to a job where she's serving alcohol.
That's where
we are. She should have lost her job. She should have lost. And the way she was dressed, she didn't look like she was going to anybody's job. And what would, listen, if somebody picked you up and tossed you off the bus, what would make you get back on the bus? She looked like she weighed 95 pounds soaking wet.
He didn't have time to close the door.
You're a 100-plus-pound man. She had to be hopped up on something.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, she didn't feel that smack in the jaw. She had to be on something.
Had to be.
Jesus.
I'm sorry for laughing, but that was crazy.
She's been shot and stabbed on two separate occasions. She still ain't learned her lesson.
No. And you know what? That's why when she appears in court, in front of whatever judge she appears in, they should really make her learn her lesson. And I'm not saying incarcerating her is the answer. No. She should be required to do extensive anger management. She should be required. She should be on probation for 5 years. She should be required to go and seek therapy. She should be required to do some type of community service. And she owes that man and everybody on that bus an apology.
Yeah. I mean, as y'all can see, I did a lot of research on the study. And she might be coming out of this with some money.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Are you for real?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And the thing is, reward negative behavior is the reason why society is where it's at now.
That's
it causes
America.
More division. It causes more division, and it causes people to keep going on because there's no consequences. And, you know, divide and conquer, keep people confused. It's the white supremacy way, so they can go ahead and make more bogus laws and throw us in jail some more.
Then it's locked
same thing.
Because if a police officer had shot her, she wouldn't have got a dime. But here she is getting smacked, and she's going to sue for money.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What a world we live in. Well, that's why it's up each and every one of us to do something about the injustices that we succumb to, as in addition to that we watch and witness going on around us. Plus, again, get active in your community. This is the, you know what? We should make our president proud of us. Public service, grassroots community outreach work is something that he started out doing, and that's what we all need to do. We all need to take a better and a more effective and a consistent active role in becoming more involved in our communities. So what I want to do right now is just thank you all for participating in Freestyle Thursdays. I want to thank International Boobie, the gentleman from the 314 area code. I appreciate it. What's your name, sir?
Well, my name is Pianchi.
Pianchi?
Pianchi, yes.
Pianchi, yes. Well, welcome back to the Bree Life Radio Show, and please, you know, continue to follow me. I'd love to have you on again. My two brothers at arms, Alvin and Dwan, thank you very much for keeping me. And all of my listeners, I just want to thank you all for continuing to support the Bree Life Radio Show. I love you all on purpose, and you'll be hearing from me again on Wednesday, where we'll have some provocative dialogue to provoke peripheral thought. Take care. Peace and blessings.
Peace
good night.
Good night, everyone.